33, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them." Back in Luke chapter 23, we read that 3 days prior to what we've just read, Christ was crucified and buried. When we get to Luke chapter 24, it's the first day of the week, Sunday. It's very early in the morning. We see that in verse 1. We read that some of the women had gone to the tomb of Jesus, and we know that they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and did not find the body of Jesus. This greatly perplexed them. Two angels appear to them with the news, "He is not here, but is risen." They returned from the sepulcher, told these things to the 11 and all the rest. We read in verse 9. The result of the women's testimony upon the disciples is recorded in verse 11. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." And then coming to our text, we read that two of them, referring back to the individuals who had heard the testimony of the women concerning the risen Christ and believed them not. So these two individuals have heard and they did not believe. They heard that Christ had risen, but having not seen him, they do not believe. Then we read here in verse 13, two of them went that same day, Sunday. That's where the chapter begins in verse 1. They headed to a village called Emmaus, and we're told how far that village was from Jerusalem, about 7.5 miles. In verse 18, we're told the name of one of these two, Cleopas. We read in John 19 and verse 25 that he had a wife by the name of Mary. It's very possible that this is Cleopas and Mary. It's very possible that these are husband and wife. However, it really doesn't matter. What does matter is what happened on the road that day. What happened was a personal encounter with the risen Christ. What happened was a heart-filling experience. No doubt these two had traveled this road before, but this day, of course, would be different. The end result of what happened is recorded in verse 31, 32, and 33. We see that their eyes were opened, and they knew him. That's one thing that happened. Another thing that happened was there was a burning in their heart. That is, they had deep feelings and longings. They felt an intense passion. They felt great elation and energy and vitality in their hearts. This caused them to walk 7.5 miles back to Jerusalem with great courage. And we'll call what happened that day, we'll call it the Emmaus Road that they were walking upon. And what happened that day was a life-altering, life-changing experience. These two were moved beyond where they were spiritually. They were moved beyond where they were when they began this journey to Emmaus. This morning we spoke on the Samaritan that walks the Jericho road. Tonight we want to speak on the Christ that walks the Emmaus road. And we want to make application to the saved. First of all, we need to set the stage for this walk to Emmaus. In verse 14, we see that as they are walking along this Emmaus road, it says that they talked together of all these things which happened. In verse 18, Christ has appeared and they are talking to Christ and they refer to the things which are come to pass there, that is in Jerusalem, in these days. So they were talking about the things which are come to pass. They are talking about the things which had happened. And the things that had come to pass, the things that happened are recorded in verse 20. We see that Jesus Christ was so abhorred, so detested, that he was arrested, he was mocked, he was falsely accused, he was condemned to die, he was crucified. So we see that these days that they referred to were days of sin, they were days of apostasy, they were days of fierce opposition to Christ. And on top of all of that, we read in verses 21 through 24 that Christ's tomb was empty. So these were days of great trial. These were days of difficulty. These were days that caused these two disciples much distress. These were days that caused them much torment. So it gives us an idea of the circumstances that had an effect upon these two disciples. And then we see the condition of these two disciples at this time. The things which happened had an adverse effect upon these two individuals. Our text opens with them again leaving Jerusalem. They are on their way to Emmaus. No doubt they lived in Emmaus because they arrived at a home or a house in Emmaus. And so there they are, walking this road, heading back to Emmaus, and they're doing so upon the report of an empty tomb. The word Emmaus simply means an obscure and despised people. So it was a very insignificant village. Jerusalem, of course, as we said this morning, that's the city of promise to the Jew. It was a city of purpose, the city of the presence of God, known as the city of God. So they're headed back. They're headed back to life in Emmaus. They're headed back to the routines of Emmaus, and as they are heading back, they are having a conversation. And we read in verse 15, as they are talking, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their conversation would continue with him. And from this conversation, we, between themselves and also from the conversation that they had with Christ, we learn much about their spiritual condition at this time. And their spiritual condition is a picture of many of God's people. And it is a picture of where we have all been at one time or another. So we've all walked this Emmaus road. Some may be walking it now. But first thing we want to notice is, of course, they lack faith. Verse 11. We see in verse 11 that they did not believe. Their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And in their conversation with Jesus, Jesus would say to them in verse 25, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." So this tells us much about their condition. Their faith had wavered. Their faith had shrunk. Secondly, they were fixated upon that which was very detrimental to them. And the two go hand in hand. When faith shrinks, there's usually a fixation upon that which is detrimental. Notice in verse 14, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened." And in verse 15, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned." So they're not only talking together, discussing all the events that had happened and how they viewed those events, they are also reasoning. That is, they are searching for answers. The troubling thing here is that the tomb was empty and they had not seen Jesus Christ. So they are searching for answers, and they are searching for answers amongst human reasoning. Just a week prior to this, their hopes had risen to a fever pitch when the crowds had lined the streets and hailed Jesus Christ as their master and as their long deliverer from the tyranny of Roman occupation. But now the one that they had so revered, they had so loved, and they had followed him, he's been made a public spectacle, he's been crucified, the tomb is empty, and these two are trying to figure it all out. They're fixated upon this, and it's detrimental to their spiritual condition. We've all been there. They were also filled with sadness. In verse 17, Jesus asked them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" So this was not a joyous occasion. As they're walking along, they're very unhappy. They are extremely heavy-hearted. They're downcast. They're discouraged, perhaps even distraught. This could be seen upon their faces. This could be seen in the way that they walked. And this could certainly be heard in the tone of their conversation. So again, we're getting a picture of their condition. We see also that they were feeling very defeated. We see as they walked about and talked about the things that had come to pass, they said in verse 21, "We trusted." It's not "we trust," but "we trusted." We trusted. That is, we place confidence that this was He. We trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. We trusted. Their hopes had been shattered. Their assurance and their confidence is now gone. That's what happens when faith begins to waver. And now they're weary. They're disappointed. We trusted that this was He. They're disappointed. They're frustrated. They're restless. They're filled with hopelessness. There's a sense, there's a tone of pessimism in their voice. So as you look at these two as they're walking along, there is no passion. There is no ambition. There is no zeal. There is no fervor. There is no victory. They're living a life of defeat. They feel defeated. And they're headed back to Emmaus. Headed back to their daily routines. You notice also that they were fearful and confused. Verse 21 or verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. These are the women that came and said that the tomb was empty and said what the angels declared. And verse 11, again, we see their response. They seemed as idle tales and they believed them not. That's why they were astonished, because they believed not. So that word astonished means that there was fear in their lives as they're heading back to Emmaus. Also, we see that Christ and everything about Him was past tense to them. In their minds, Jesus Christ was no longer relevant to their present situation. They no doubt had made professions of faith in Him. They had probably seen some of His miracles. They no doubt had heard some of His teachings. And all of this at one time was very exciting, very enlightening, very uplifting. But now it's all in the past. It's all a past experience. They once saw Jesus Christ as He answered all their problems. They basically stated that when they said, "We thought that He was. We trusted that He was." So they once saw Him as the answer to all their problems, to all their difficulties, to all their needs, to all their circumstances. But they don't see it that way anymore. That's all in the past. So as you look at these two individuals walking this Emmaus road, they are filled with unbelief. They are confused. They are looking for answers amongst human reasoning. As a result, they are sad. They are discouraged. They are frustrated. They are feeling defeated. They have little to no passion, little to no ambition, fervor, or zeal for Christ. They lack clear vision. Jesus is walking with them, but their eyes are holden, and they do not know Him. They no longer see Christ as a present reality in their lives. This is their condition. And they are headed back to Emmaus believing that there is nothing better for them than the routine in Emmaus. And as you look at these two individuals, they are very descriptive of many today. They are very descriptive of many of God's people today. But thanks be to God, there is another that walks along that Emmaus road. And He's the one that can make a difference. And He did that day. Which brings us to the turning point. These two did not continue in this condition. And the reason they did not continue in this condition was not because they finally reasoned it through. The reason they did not continue in this condition is because of another that had walked that Emmaus road, and He joined them, and He walked with them, and He listened to them, and He talked to them, and He had everything that they needed. Now think of the need of these two individuals. First and foremost, they needed a fresh discovery of Jesus Christ. And whenever you find yourself in the condition of these two individuals, talking to the saved, you need a fresh discovery of Jesus Christ. Without this fresh discovery of Jesus Christ, they would have continued in that condition. They would have continued going in the direction they were headed. They would have arrived at Emmaus and lived the rest of their lives in this condition. But again, thanks be to God, there was another who walked that Emmaus road who could change everything. And that's what he did. What they needed was a special nearness to Christ. Notice in verse 15, it says, Jesus himself drew near. Notice it does not just say, Jesus drew near. Jesus himself. That's for emphasis. Jesus himself drew near. They were going away, but Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus has risen from the tomb. So the living and victorious Christ walks that Emmaus road, and he is now with them. This is the beginning of the turning point. The one who could transform their unbelief. The one who could transform their hopelessness. The one who could transform their weakness and their sorrow and their disappointment and their discouragement and all the uncertainty that they were feeling. And the defeat that they were feeling. And the weariness that they were feeling. The one who could change all of that drew near and went with them. How thankful we ought to be that he walks the Emmaus road. And that he draws near to others who walk the Emmaus road. And he goes with them. And the fact that he draws near and goes with them changes everything. It changes everything. The only reason, we've all walked the Emmaus Road. We've all been in this condition. And some may be right now. But the only reason we don't continue there is because Jesus drew near and went with us. Otherwise, we will live the rest of our life in that condition. What they needed was the listening ear of Jesus Christ. Jesus not only drew near unto them and went with them, he spoke to them. And he spoke to them as one who desired to hear what they had to say. Jesus asked them a question in verse 17. Jesus knew what they were talking about, but he asked them a question. What manner of communications are these that ye have with one another? The reason he asked the question was he wanted a response. And the response was, basically, are you the only one living in Jerusalem? So we know from that statement, they haven't been walking too far along the Emmaus Road. Are you the only one living in Jerusalem that does not know the things that have happened? The things that have happened there. The reason Jesus asked them that question was he wanted them to tell him all about it. Notice what he said in verse 19. What things? He knew. But he wanted them to tell him. He wanted them to tell him all about it. What things? And they proceed in verses 19 through 24 to pour out their hearts, to pour out what was grieving them to someone who was willing to listen. There's many lessons right there. Jesus was walking with them and he listened to what they had to say. Again, the whole trip is 7.5 miles. How fast they were walking, we don't know. Perhaps as they talked, they slowed down their pace. So we don't know how long it took for them to say what they said in verses 21 through 24. But we ought to be thankful that there is one who walks the Emmaus Road who wants you to tell him all. He draws near, he walks with us, and he wants us to tell him. I'm here to tell you tonight that if we would tell him, we wouldn't spend so much time on the Emmaus Road. If we spent less time reasoning and more time telling him, we wouldn't spend so much time on the Emmaus Road. They tell them all. So there's one who walks the Emmaus Road that wants us to tell him, wants us to pour out our heart to him. But not only that, these individuals needed to be told the real cause of their trouble and anguish. In verse 17, again, Jesus asked the question, what are you talking about that makes you so sad? And these two individuals thought from their answer in verses 19 through 24, they thought they had good reason for their hopelessness, for their sadness, for their misery, for their frustration, for their discouragement. And all people do. When we get in that condition, we convince ourselves that we have good reason. I have good reason to be discouraged. I have good reason to feel this way. That's the way people are. It's the way God's people are. But notice as they give their reasons, blame is laid in verse 20 upon the chief priests and how the chief priests and our rulers, the reason they are sad, according to them, is because of what the chief priests did. Because of what the rulers did. Because of the circumstances. They advance down into verse 22 and they say, and certain women, you ask why we're sad. Well, I want to tell you, it's those chief priests, it's the rulers, it's the circumstances, and it's those certain women. And Jesus, after they spoke, gave them the real reason. Verse 25. Then, that is, after they spoke, he listened to them talk. He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. It's as if Jesus is saying, that is not the reason you are sad. The reason you are sad is because you do not believe what the Scriptures say. And the reason many continue for most of their life to walk the Emmaus Road is they never get to the reason why they're there. And you'll never get off the Emmaus Road until you do. And most would get angry at what Jesus said. O fools, and slow of heart to believe. But again, one of the reasons that God's people never seem to get beyond where they are is because they do not recognize the real reason why they are where they are. So Jesus, they needed to be told that. And we all do. When we begin to walk the Emmaus Road, we can blame anything and everything on why we're there, and why we're sad, and why we're feeling the way we do. But the reason is really a spiritual reason. And thanks be unto God, there's one who walks the Emmaus Road who knows the reason. And he is willing to reveal the reason to us. He's willing to reveal our low spiritual condition, and that's what he has just done in verse 25. They also needed to be told why they felt the way they did, but they also needed to hear more about Jesus. And in verse 27, and beginning at Moses, book of Genesis, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You see, many who walk the Emmaus Road, they will continue to walk there because they don't want to hear what the scriptures say. But Jesus began to expound. That means he began to explain in detail the things concerning himself. And I believe they walked along silently, intently listening as Jesus explained and clarified the Old Testament scriptures concerning himself. And I believe that Jesus took them by way of the scriptures to the blood-sprinkled altars and told them about himself. I believe that he took them perhaps by way of Jacob's ladder, perhaps to the burning bush and to the Passover lamb and explained about himself. Perhaps he took them by way of scriptures through the tabernacle and explained about himself. Perhaps he took them into Isaiah 53 and explained about himself. But wherever he went, he used the Old Testament and he expounded concerning himself. And they now had a new vision. They now had a new understanding concerning the truth. There are many who walk the Emmaus Road and you try to tell them the truth. They'll say, I know. Yeah, you may know, but you need to know better. You need to have a clear vision and understanding of the truth. And there is one who walks the Emmaus Road who can make the Scriptures clear to us. They also needed to have a closer fellowship with Christ. That's always the case. That's always the case when we find ourselves in this condition, walking the Emmaus Road. We need a closer fellowship with Christ. You know, we live in a day where I just need to get away. I need to do this. I need to do that. No, you need a closer fellowship with Christ. Nothing can replace that. We read in verse 28 that as they reached their destination, They drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. And in verse 29, they constrained him. They constrained him. That is, they took him by force. They laid hold upon him. They begged him not to leave. And they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us." That is, come in the house for a while with us. They did not want this to end. They did not want this conversation to end. And we see it was toward evening. The day is far spent. And then it says, he went in. He went in to tarry with them. In verse 30, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them. So they are sitting together at a table, at a meal. He, not they, he took bread and blessed it, and he broke it. And then it says, and gave to them. He is in their house. You would think that they would take bread and give it to him. But that's not what happened. He took bread and gave it to them. What that means is, they now received from him. And if you're going to get off the Emmaus Road, you're going to need to receive from him. That'll get you off. That'll keep you heading back from going to Emmaus. So they received from him. He broke bread. He gave it to them. They experienced him even more. And again, we can be thankful that there's one who walks the Emmaus Road, that we can receive refreshment from. They also needed to have their eyes opened and to know him more. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened. That is, as he took that bread and broke it and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, it was at that moment that their eyes were opened and they knew him. And they knew him. And you and I cannot, there are not enough words to describe the joy that filled their heart, and they knew him. And they knew him. The one who had come from the tomb. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Once again, we ought to be thankful that there is one who walks the Emmaus Road, who can open blinded eyes and cause us to know him more. That's the cure for walking this road. Notice the result of all of this. They had an overwhelming desire for him. Remember how the walk began. They're sad. Everything about Christ is in the past tense. But now, everything has changed. And the reason it's changed is all because of this one, Jesus, who walks the Emmaus Road. They have poured out their hearts to him. They have told him everything. They have been listening to Christ as he has explained and clarified the scriptures concerning himself. And when they arrive at the residence, they turn toward the house. But it looks like Jesus is going to keep on walking. So they constrained him, saying, "Abide or dwell with us." They wanted more of his presence. So they have gone from Christ being in the past tense to now wanting more of his presence. His conversation with them had been so engaging, so heavenly, so instructive, so sweet and so delightful, and so powerful and moving and beneficial to their souls that they would not let him go. They constrained him, saying, "Abide with us." Everything has changed about their spirit, about their attitude. And it's not their reasoning together that has brought about the change. It's the fact that Jesus drew near and walked with them. And what happened from that point that has brought about this change. So they want more of the presence of Christ. And again, we ought to be thankful that there is one who walks the Emmaus road that can bring about this transformation. And then we see that he vanished out of their sight in verse 31. And they continue talking with one another, but their conversation is completely different now because everything has changed. Verse 32, they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Did your heart burn while he was talking, they're saying? Yes, did yours? Their conversation has changed. The tone of their conversation has changed. Again, back in verse 17, they were talking to one another, and as they walked, they were sad. You don't read that in verse 32. The tone of their conversation has changed. You see, they now believed. Their problem was, again, it was stated in verse 25, "O fools and slow of heart to believe." But now, they believe. All human reasoning has been replaced with Christ. The confusion and the frustration and the discouragement and the sadness, it's all gone. It's all gone. Why? Because of this one who drew near and went with them and communed with them and revealed himself to them. Did not our heart burn within us? Now they have a warmth of gladness in their heart. They have a warmth of assurance that has now filled their soul. Everything has changed. Hope has been restored. They now have ambition. They now have zeal and fervor for Christ. There's just delight all about them. All because of one who walks the Emmaus road. And all of this resulted in courage and determination on their part. Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour. Keep in mind, it was evening. It was getting dark. They've already walked 7.5 miles. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11. And from reading the book of John, we know that these 11 were gathered together that Sunday evening. So they made the 7.5 mile trek back, all in the same evening. They went back to where? Jerusalem. The place of persecution. The place of opposition. They go back there. But their trip back, they go back, but they're no longer the same. They have been changed. Those hearts that were so filled with unbelief, again, they now believe. Those hearts that were so heavy, the burden has been lifted. Those hearts that were so unhappy, joy unspeakable now fills their soul. Those hearts that were so discouraged are now encouraged. Those hearts that were so fearful are now filled with courage. Those hearts that were so pessimistic and hopeless are now filled with optimism and filled with blessed assurance and filled with conviction. And those hearts that were so defeated now are victorious. Jesus was no longer a past memory. They have come to see and to feel the reality of Christ, and they return to Jerusalem. And people would go home different if they would have an Emmaus Road experience. There are people who return to their homes every day. They're sad, they're disappointed, they're discouraged. All you can ask them why, and believe me, they'll tell you 105 reasons. And none of them are accurate. None of them. Because they will not say, the reason I am this way is because I'm not where I ought to be spiritually. The reason I am this way is because I don't have faith enough. They will not say that. Because if they came to that realization, they could not continue where they are. But they return home every day. And they sit down with the wife, or they sit down with the husband, and they sit down with the kids, and they reason amongst themselves, and they just review all their misery, and they just walk the Emmaus Road all together their whole life. How sad. How sad. But what changes it all is Jesus drawing near. When Jesus draws near and walks with us, we see that He talked with them. You've got to listen. You've got to listen. He asked them a question. They gave an honest answer. It wasn't an accurate answer, but they gave Him an honest answer. You've got to be honest with the Lord. You've got to tell Him. You've got to pour your heart out to the Lord. And then when the Lord tells you the real reason, you've got to listen. And you've got to believe. That will deliver you from this Emmaus Road. So, oh, how thankful we ought to be that there is one who walks the Emmaus Road. What's sad today is here in our text we see two individuals walking that road. They're communing with one another. They're reasoning with one another. And they're sad. What's sad today is that there's not just two people walking that road. There are groups of people. Misery loves company. And if you're not miserable, they'll do their best to make you that way. And pretty soon, it may start out with two, and then they may have four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, and there they go. How sad. Because we don't have to walk that road. And we can get off that road very quickly with just the same experience that they had here. But it is an experience with Jesus Christ. It's not an experience of reasoning amongst other miserable people. That's what miserable people do. They find someone just as miserable as them and they reason with them. How much sense does that make? Someone who's backslidden, they find someone who's just as backslidden or worse than they are. And they reason with them. You'll be in the Emmaus Road the rest of your life. That'll never get you off. But what will is Jesus drew near. Went with them. He talked to them. He engaged them in a conversation. And they responded. Jesus comes and visits us in the Emmaus Road. We need to respond. We need to respond to Him. And we need to listen to what He says. And there's transformation. There's transformation in that experience. So we ought to be thankful today. There is one. His name is Jesus. He walks the Jericho Road where there's lost sinners. And that's the lost sinner's only hope. But there's one named Jesus. He also walks the Emmaus Road. And there are the downcast of God's people. And He's the answer. So, oh, how thankful we ought to be. So if you find yourself in the Emmaus Road, look for Jesus. Look for Him. Because that's the only way off. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.